This is Pastor Stephen Simpson, and welcome to my July 2025 pastoral letter. This letter is entitled, The Hope of Your Calling, Part 1. You know, I've been praying for you. These have been tumultuous times in the United States and around the world. Most of my dearest friends are facing profound battles in their lives right now. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to renew and refresh you in the name of Jesus, beyond our circumstances or challenges. This month, I want to share some encouragement with you. My dad often told me, "Son, without hope, you cannot start the day." We all need hope that goes beyond pretty words or wishful thinking. And what I want to say to you in this letter is just part one of a two-part series on the hope of your calling. I'm going to submit it to you prayerfully, and I hope it blesses you. Recently, a young lady who is very precious to me stepped into eternity with Jesus. Miss Faith Benetham was born 26 years ago with profound and rare health challenges. You know, she wasn't expected to live beyond her first few hours. And I was honored to serve as pastor to her dear parents, Jim and Jenny Benetham. And so I traveled to the University of Michigan Hospital as soon as she was born to stand in love and prayer with their family. Now, I can't tell you the entirety of her remarkable and miraculous story. I'll leave that to Jim and Jenny to share. But before Faith was born, doctors had delivered heartbreaking news to her parents regarding Faith's health condition. Based on tests and ultrasounds, their diagnosis was realistic, but it was desperately grim. We cried together on the phone when they told me. As our call was concluding, I sensed the Holy Spirit leading me to ask, "Have you named her yet?" Jim told me, "Her name is Faith." And before I could think or stop myself, I said firmly, "She shall not die but live." Those words stunned me as soon as I said them. I don't know what Jim and Jenny thought, but in my mind I thought, "What did I just say? What have I done? Why did I say that?" You know, the doctors were giving Faith a 0% chance of survival. In my life, I've seen charlatans and wolves utter false prophecies and promises to the people of God, and that's resulted in a lot of heartbreak and devastation. I detest it. I've heard people make declarations and proclamations that were rooted in their own need to perform and please rather than in the Holy Spirit. In this moment here, I felt sick with worry, as though I had just become one of those hyped-up religious con men who was making empty promises. After the call ended, I fell to the floor of my bedroom in confusion and grief and fear, and I cried out to God for Faith and for her family. And I was angry at myself. Why did I say that? Where did that come from? But in my tears and fears and doubts, the peace of God came upon me. I heard his quiet voice speaking to my heart. "Son, I told you to say that." Well, I'm sorry to say that my first reaction to hearing God's voice was, "Oh, great, now I'm imagining things." But the Holy Spirit persisted and reminded me of Psalm 118:17, which says, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." That word became an anchor for me. I became confident that God, in fact, had a plan for Faith's life. As I prayed there on that bedroom floor, I began to come into agreement with what I had heard God say. Boldness, tempered by reverence, continued to grow in me. And I knew that this was faith from God and not presumption. I knew that she would live and be a testimony to the power and grace of God. When Faith was born, Doctors said that her condition was indeed dire, but there were some indications that her lungs were slightly stronger than they expected. Still, her heart was damaged, and doctors didn't expect her to survive. But we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed some more. Above her little bed in the hospital, Jim and Jenny taped up this scripture that the Lord had given to them from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And this is what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. When God gives you a word, stand on it. He knows how to take his eternal, perfect, holy word and make it personal to you. Jim and Jenny clung to that word, and in the days and weeks and months and years that followed, that word clung to them and to sweet little Faith. Her life and love for Jesus became a testimony and a blessing to all who met and knew her. She had a mighty calling on her life, and she fulfilled that calling until she crossed the finish line and heard the well done of the Father. I know her family and friends miss her terribly, and I would ask you to please pray for them and join me in thanking God for Faith's life. I share that story because you and I, like Faith, are called by God Himself. Your life, regardless of your circumstances, has purpose and meaning. You are precious to God, and your calling in God is precious and holy. Here's some things to remember. God initiated your calling. Before time began, He knew you. Imagine that. In God's perfect timing, He formed you and breathed His life into you. It's like Psalm 100 says, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Well, God first calls us to Himself for salvation and restoration and relationship. Keep this in mind. Conviction of sin and grace for salvation both come from God. Again, He initiates it. This wasn't our idea. It wasn't our plan. It was something that God initiated and initiated in us. Also remember this. God gives us His love when we are unlovely and unlovable. Finally, we love Him because He first loved us. You can read about that in 1 John 4. In His salvation, God lifts us out of a pit, out of miry clay, as it says in Psalm 40. He then sets our feet upon a rock, and He makes our footsteps firm. This is in contrast to our former condition of being lost and trapped in sinking, shifting sand. Then the word says that He puts a new song of praise in our mouths and causes us to be a testimony of salvation to others. Again, this contrasts with our former way of thinking and feeling and speaking and acting. This new lordship in our hearts and minds produces a new way to live. By God's grace, our eyes are being opened to who He is and who we are in Him. We're daily discovering more about how He made us and the purpose and cause for which we've been born. God is continually giving spiritual gifts to us and revealing the power of those gifts to us. These gifts are not merely for our own blessing, but they cause us to be a blessing to others. To know that God has called you and to understand what He has called you to be and to do is a wonderful treasure. I think it's one of the greatest things that we could ever have. The Apostle Paul put it this way when he was writing to the Christians living in Ephesus. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Again, you can find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Now, this is a prayer from Paul, the apostle. And I believe it was not only for those Christians at that time in Ephesus, but for all of us who have faith in Jesus and love for his people today. Now, if I'm right, if that's true, then this prayer is for you right now. What would it mean to you if God heard and answered this prayer? Paul acknowledges that wisdom and revelation are gifts from God for his people. God, our Father, is the source of all blessing. The Creator, the Lord of heaven and earth, is also your Father. Think about that. He actually desires to give you good gifts, even more than you may want to receive them. Can you comprehend the magnitude of that? Truthfully, I can't. God's wisdom is not according to the wisdom of the world. Isaiah said in chapter 55 that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that his ways are not our ways. Isaiah goes on to note that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's thoughts higher than our own thoughts. Don't begin to think for one minute that your brain or mind can comprehend all of the majesty of God's thoughts and all of the wisdom of his thoughts. Yes, his perspective is higher and greater than ours, but he desires to shower his wisdom down upon us like rain from heaven, which nourishes good seed and provides bread for the hungry. His word does not return to him void. It fulfills the purpose for which it is given. Well, our time is almost up, so we'll talk more next month about the power of creation truth and how it relates to our own lives and callings. But in the meantime, I'm hoping that what I've shared with you in these minutes will begin to expand your thinking about God's personal care and plan for you. Regardless of your age or circumstances, regardless of your past successes or failures, if you're within the sound of my voice, I assure you that God has even more in store for you than you can imagine. One thing I would personally ask of you is that you would seriously pray for all of us here at CSM as we work to be obedient to God's calling for us and our ministry. We need prayer warriors and intercessors like never before. Our small staff has experienced intense personal spiritual attacks on our health, our finances, our resources, on our families. Even as opportunities for outreach expand, the ministry itself has experienced a significant downturn in giving and support. I've heard of many other ministries across the United States and around the world who are reporting similar shortfalls. We've made some painful financial cuts in our budget since my dad passed away 15 months ago. And we're making more cuts as I write this. But would you prayerfully consider a special financial gift to support CSM this month? And if you find our resources helpful, would you be willing to let your friends know about this ministry? You can share our social media posts on your own social media pages. We're on Facebook at Charles Simpson Ministries, as well as X Twitter at CSMen Publishing. We continue to add videos, including new shorts and visualizers, to our official CSM YouTube channel. And we've reactivated our CSM Publishing Instagram account, where you'll find many, many encouraging scriptures and illustrations. In addition to developing new resources such as online audio and video streaming, we're also committed to preserving the teaching legacy of my dad, Charles Simpson. We have an amazing archive, and we want to share it with you and others. We need special resources above and beyond our current finances to preserve and distribute this material. So please pray with us for wisdom and provision. And of course, you can visit our website, csmpublishing.org. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to pray over any prayer requests you may have. We love you, and we thank God for you daily. This has been Pastor Stephen Simpson, President of CSM Publishing.